everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording show number 230 this 10th day of April, 2008, at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southworth Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For an hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind.
That's what I heard.
Our host for today's show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Hi there, Thomas. Hi there.
Hi, Don. I understand Don Shaw took the day off.
Yeah,
well-deserved day off.
A well-deserved day off. Actually,
some folks said he was negotiating his contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here and probably at the university as well. We think they both come up simultaneously, so he's probably in.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Another can of worms. Okay. My name's Tom Houston.
High-level negotiations.
Here he is, folks. Here's the star of the Blind Handyman Show, the creator and producer, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
I don't know about this star stuff. It's just good
to be here. That's probably what kicked Shaw off.
Probably why Shaw's not here, because you call me the star.
But it sounds good, you know? It makes me feel like I'm really introducing somebody to the star.
It kind of sounds good, doesn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
Has a ring to it. I won't say I don't like it. But listen, you get any rain?
A little bit, yeah. Not a whole lot. Did y'all get a bunch?
Not a lot yet, but it still looks threatening, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's kind of dark out. It's not.
I read the weather page on KTRE, and it says that this stuff is supposed to come in tonight here. I mean, it's a dry front overlapping a cold front, and I think they got some really rough weather in Dallas last night.
Oh, I know they did. In DeSoto, Texas, that's a southern suburb of Dallas, I believe.
Little west, southwest,
Yeah, I looked at some pictures this morning on Fox, and it tore some houses up down in that area.
Is that right?
Yes, it sure did. Of course, now it's moving kind of northeast.
Yeah, it's not moving directly east like most of them do. So
no, this one's kind of northeast, and it's a pretty good line north, so maybe we'll look out of this one.
Well, you know, it's already cooled off. It's 63 last time I looked, I think.
Is that right?
There. Yeah, it's
cool. Yesterday was like our first day of summer. I mean, I broke a sweat. I was outside, and I'm going, man, you know, I'll be crying for the wintertime about April 1st, or May the 1st.
I was out here working, and I turned this first time I turned the air conditioner on here, turned it on, and I don't forget what it was. I put Handyman together, and I did some work for the Livingston radio station, and it's hot, is what it was. The summer of 08 is almost upon us, isn't it?
Hey, all right.
No,
I'm ready.
No, it's not all right. I'm not ready.
Well, Thomas, I know one thing. I got my electric bill from Stream this time, and it's less than it was last month, and it's way a lot less than TXU. So, and yours is 2 cents to the better of that. So,
yeah.
I looked at my direct energy, the last bill, just to see what they were getting me, charging me.
Uh-huh.
And it was above what they initially said they were charging me. They were getting me for 14 cents.
Ah, big fat liars.
Yeah, and it started a lot lower than that, or I wouldn't have switched to begin with.
Well, they're going to, how could they buy electricity from TXU cheaper than TXU and sell it to you? It doesn't make any sense, kids.
Well,
they
buy in bulk,
yeah,
which is the way the phone companies used to do. They bought bulk lines, and then they would resell it. So they would get a discount, a big discount, by buying in bulk, and then they would resell it at a lesser rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same principle.
So 14 cents, that's what I've been paying.
Well, 14 cents is they just kind of sneaked it up on me, and I didn't realize I was paying that, because when I started, I certainly wasn't, I would have never switched.
You were at 11 cents when you started, weren't you?
I think it was, 11 cents, and I just went to 9.9 with another company, and I'm going to watch them real close.
Did you have Stream?
No, I had Direct Energy.
Okay, so.
And now I'm with Ambit, AMBIT Energy.
Don't you think they're all owned by the same guy?
No, probably not. If I'm going to compare it to the telephone companies, no, they're not. And it seems like Amtel, the phone business that I worked for back years ago, and I asked my granddaughter, who introduced me to it, if it was a multi-level type thing, because Amtel certainly was.
Oh, you think your grandmother, your granddaughter reaped a commission off you buying...
Oh, I know she did. She made $100 by me signing up.
You're
because she had
kidding.
Signed up some other people.
This is Emily?
No, this is Amanda.
Oh, okay.
This is Amanda. And she called me and said, hey, if you will go with Ambit at 9.9 cents a minute, James and I will get a $100 check next week. And I said, well, my goodness.
This is your granddaughter.
Yeah, this is my granddaughter, yeah.
Wow.
She shopped around, or her and James shopped around and got the rate, and they've had that 9.9 rate.
Yeah.
And she told me when she got it, and I said, well, I've got a pretty good rate, but it's not that good.
Yeah.
But I had not looked at my direct energy rate in a long time.
And it cracked up to 14.
Oh, one month, they called themselves catching up.
Yeah.
And it was 800 and something dollars, and I called and came off of that. What is that, average billing, they call it, or something like that? They had another name for it, but it's the same thing.
Same thing as average
billing.
But, you know, that was strange because I had average billing with TXU, and when I got off of them and quit Stream, I didn't have any overcharges or undercharges. My last bill from them was half of what my average billing was.
It depends on when you get off.
It probably would, yeah.
It would depend on when you decide, because we accidentally got taken off. Well, our electricity went off, and I called them and got them, fussed at them about turning electricity being off. And somewhere there, they canceled us. And man, the next bill I got was $2,000. Luann just went nuts. And what had happened is this was in November, and we were catching up for the summer, and so it would depend on when you get off of it. Enough about that. Email? Do you have email, sir?
I do. I have some list mail here.
And, well, we're ready.
Okay, here's something that Ray Boyce sent in. It was on eliminating water hammer sounds coming from your faucets, of course. And the question was, how can I stop the knocking sound coming from the pipes in my house? I installed new taps in our bathroom, showers, and tubs, and now we have a bad case of water hammer. Can I fix this problem without tearing the walls apart?
Yes. What did he say?
And the answer on this was exactly what you said, yes. He says a water hammer is a loud knocking sound that occurs in water supply pipes, usually when water stops flowing abruptly as taps are turned off quickly. The cure is to introduce some sort of air cushion into your plumbing system to act as a shock absorber. Water hammer arresters are available for this purpose, designed to be spliced into pipes near the offending plumbing outlet. Larger units are available for protection of your whole house. An air cushion pressure tank of the sort used in rural water systems does an excellent job eliminating water hammer everywhere in your house. Just connect it into the main water line, and the problem will disappear. There's no need to tear open any walls, Ray Boyce.
Well, very good. I've never had it. Have you?
I think I've lived in places that I was renting that had that before, yes. I've heard that sound. I know what they're talking about, but very rarely.
Yeah, sometimes when you turn the faucet off real fast, it'll go boom. You can hear that pipe in there jump around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in new houses, those pipes are usually in the concrete under the house, in the slab, and the only place they are in the wall is where they come up to join the basin or the commode or the shower. So that would pretty well eliminate that in new houses, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Here's a guy named Bob, and he says that they do make an item called a water hammer. It's a small cylinder with an air pocket in it. The best solution would be to get a nice expansion tank and clamp the pipes where possible. If there is too much movement in the pipes, it can cause a joint to break over time, he says. The other solution is to install a pressure regulator to limit how high of water pressure you have.
So the air would go through this thing, but water wouldn't.
Yeah, my little brother was telling me when I moved in this mobile home out here, he said that they make a little deal that will, you know, keep a constant pressure on your pipes.
Uh-huh.
Where the water line is coming into the mobile home, there's a certain place, of course, they attach it, and you can put a device that will control how much pressure, you know, that the water, you know, gives
yeah.
those pipes, which
you
I thought
do.
Was a pretty good idea, but I don't have it, and I've had no problem, and I've heard no noise of any kind.
No water hammer.
No water hammer.
That's good to know. Water hammer free life. I've never had it, so I haven't lived in apartments in a long time. I've probably had it in apartments.
That may be where I had it. I don't know. It's been so long, I don't even remember, but I know I've heard it before.
Old houses that the pipes go through the wall. My poor father's house, the pipes went through the attic, which has got to be the worst design in the world. You know, and when they froze, of course, biggest mess in the world, the house on Bessemer. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, here's a guy. He's talking about mowing lawns. He says, "Hi, I always wanted to know if blind people could mow lawns by themselves."
Why, yes.
Obviously, if, for example, a totally blind person's on a riding mower, somebody sighted would have to be driving it. But maybe a blind person could use a push mower and maybe a chainsaw or trimmer. My advice would be always have a sighted person near you just in case you're cutting down a tree and an accident occurs.
We have discussed this at length at different times on the show.
We have talked about this several times.
The thing that you put the border around your yard in the lawnmower, automatic lawnmower, Pat, remember that?
Yeah, they, and I forgot what it's like. They make the robot controlled or the wireless or battery charged vacuum cleaners, and they do a lawnmower that way that you can actually bury a wire at a shallow. Around the perimeter of the place you want to cut, and then the lawnmower does its kind of at random, but stays within that and cuts the yard. But physically for a blind guy to do it, I tell you what, if he knew his little front yard, like it depends on the yard. My front yard would be simple, since there's not any obstacles there, and there's actually a sidewalk that you could really keep your bearings. I mean, and you could sort of cut it in two sections. And I would suggest if a blind man was, you might get some argument on this, going to do it himself, he might pull the mower rather than push it. And I think he would know, he could sort of get a feel for it. I certainly wear the proper shoes and keep your feet out from under the mower, but I would certainly say that a blind guy mowing with a hand mower would be a lot safer than a blind guy with a chainsaw. They're just so dangerous. I mean, just they can kick back and, but I mean, they do it to sighted people too. But if you knew what you were cutting and just say cut a certain thing with a chainsaw, but just at random out there in the forest.
Waving your chainsaw around there at Hansel and Gretel as they walk by, that kind of stuff. I don't think, but a blind guy, I could mow my front yard if I was, don't tell anybody. But it's small, and it's, the way it is, you can hear the house from everywhere. And y'all understand what I'm saying. You can hear where you are very easy. Now, the baseball field would be a different story because it's huge, and there's nothing to echo off of.
Yeah, and then a hand mower, it would take you a couple of weeks.
It would take you a couple of weeks, and so you'd have to do it with a riding mower. But blind people can. And don't they make electric lawnmowers?
Yes, they do.
So that'd be real quiet for the blind guy to sneak around his yard. But the best thing to do is don't ever admit you can mow the yard and hire somebody to do it if you're blind. my thinking.
Yeah, they do also make solar-powered mowers, I think, that charge the battery, and they might give you a 30 or 45-minute. They would be for small. And I had looked into them at one time, but the price seemed really rather high. A lot of times the new technology, but I think they've come down in price, and so they're not much more than a gasoline, maybe $300, something like that. So, but I just never wanted to try one. Right. I've not ever had good luck with battery-powered, like our drills. They'll quit making the battery.
Quit making the drill. Boy, solar, everything is just out of sight.
Yeah.
It's just really high. Anything solar, is you're going to just pay several prices for it. It just seems that technology They don't want us to have that. Anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Here's a guy that says he's totally blind and he's mowed his grass since he's been married. He said, my sighted wife will come out and finish up any bits I've missed.
Uh-huh.
I find I need to let the grass get a little bit long or I don't do as good a job. That makes sense
to
me.
So he can tell where he is.
Yeah, he can tell where he is, right.
I used to mow it with you talk about a push mower. Now, we had a push mower. It was propelled in no way. It was a mower that you push yourself. And I used to get out there and mow the front yard, and Mom would sit on the porch, George, Philip, a little to your left. You know, she'd tell me where to go and where to mow. And so that, you know, when I was a kid. But it was
the old real type man.
Buddy, let me tell you, that's work, man.
Oh, it was.
That push mower.
Yeah, but I was 15. You know, I had
now,
all
this. This had the little thing that turned 360 degrees, the blades, the four or five blades.
Yeah, and they were kind of angled blades, and they went across a little thing on the bottom where they grabbed the grass and cut it against this little plate on the bottom.
Exactly.
Oh, I hated it. Gee, that's the way we mowed the lawn forever.
And, buddy, that was work. I can tell you that.
It was hard work, but it didn't bother me. I was 15 years old, a lonely teenage bronking buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck.
I bet you a guy could get on eBay and hustle one of those up.
I bet you could. I saw one hanging in somebody's garage not long ago, and I don't know where I was, but hanging up on a couple nails was one of these old mowers that reminded me of, it was terrible. I hated it. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Right, how can I patch my garage floor? It's pitted and low in the middle, causing water to pool. I'm thinking of applying a 3-inch thick layer of masonry patching compound that I've seen in stores. What do you think?
It's low in the middle, and I don't know. Concrete? What do you think, Pat?
Well, they make stuff that tile people use it a lot. It's called floor patch, and I think it'll work. Some of it works on even wood floors and or concrete, and they use it as a leveling agent. If the floors are real out of whack and they're going to put tile, they'll use it and let it set up to try to get their tile level and even. Boy, I don't know how big an area. I've never seen anybody put another layer. I know they can do it. I mean, a concrete guy, an expert, could pour a layer over that. I mean, that would be very expensive. But I've never, ever seen anybody kind of patch and make it come out right. If you were low, you might get you a board long enough to stay on the high sides and trowel it off. Just mix you up kind of soupy, a soupy mix. Not real thick.
But you're going to have something that spans the low place. You're requesting the wind.
Yeah, and then use it like a trowel and kind of smooth that out. But they make several things. For patching concrete. I mean, floor patch is set up pretty quick.
So, if you had a 12-foot factory-made 2x4 that you could lay from side to side and see just how low it was, you might be able to, with sacrete, do it. But it's going to be a nasty job, and you may come out worse. You may have water. Of course, you'd want water to run out of your garage. You may end up high in the middle.
This one came with an answer.
All right.
And it says, I'm familiar with masonry patching products you buy in bags or mix on site, but there's a problem in this particular case. While these are fine for small jobs, even a tiny garage floor is way too big for this approach. You'd be better off to have some ready-mix concrete delivered by a truck after making the necessary preparations for a good job. The trick is to clean the surface well using a pressure washer, then apply a bonding agent to the surface before the pour. This is a white acrylic liquid that's sold by different companies. You brush it onto the concrete before pouring the new stuff on top. For small patches, you can also use bonding agent to replace some of the water you'd normally add while mixing. All brands I've used work very well.
But if you do that, this guy will come and pour the concrete for you, but somebody's going to have to finish it, trial it off for you.
Exactly.
And as a blind person, you can't do that. You're going to have some sighted help, and you may have plenty of sighted help, but you can't. I don't know how you do that as a blind person. I don't know how you would trowel it, smooth off the concrete, because you couldn't see where you were, what was, you know.
If the housing market wasn't in such bad shape, I'd say move. But
well, no,
anyway.
It's a buyer's market, boy.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he's got this one to sell.
Oh, that's true. Maybe a nice fire.
Well, I know around here, the minimum load of concrete they will bring you, because you don't have to accept all of it. You could pay for it and still just get what you need. It's about 2.5 yards at the tune of concrete. It's about $100-something a yard down here. So I that would be my last resort.
The last thing you'd try.
Yeah, unless you had an expert, you know, a good concrete man to help you. That could
somebody that could
trial
it off,
yeah.
They could fix it. Because if it didn't finish, you may end up worse off than you were. But we've really helped another guy, haven't we?
Jesus. Oh, that water running from the middle of the garage to the back of the garage.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have it right into your workbench. Ah, yes. All right, Tommy, I guess we'll go and call our guest.
Well, okay.
If I can think of his name. I can't think
it
of
is,
his
name. Our guest is named Mitch
Barrier.
Barrier.
Mitch Barrier. Thank you. You wrote
Mitch
that down.
Barrier.
Yes.
Mitch Barrier, who's always on the list, or used to be always be on the list. Anyway, Tommy, thank you, and we'll do it again next week, I suppose. And,
okay, guys. Good talking to you.
All right. See if you can help those Astros.
I'm going to try.
They need all the help they can get, don't they?
Somebody, I guarantee.
Boy, there was a big article in March is Texas Monthly about the Rangers and what a miserable. They've never even been to the World Series.
Yeah, the Astros did make it a few years back.
At least went to the World Series.
Got they showed up. They put on their uniforms and showed up.
Got beat
exactly.
four games in a row. Did you hear the Panthers Tuesday night? John Tatum hit one 470 feet over a 20-foot fence.
Whoa.
My God in heaven.
That's major league stuff, man.
470 feet over a 20-foot fence. I couldn't believe it.
He got all of that ball.
He got all of that ball, and he was just, there wasn't anybody on. He just running, lonely running the bases there, you know. But we needed it. We ended up losing the game. He's the number one team in the little conference here, whatever it is. Anyway, we play him again Friday night. Be there or be square. Thank you, Tom. I'll talk to you.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye. Let's hear the old... let's hear it. There it is, the old the Skype noise. Well, we'll get Mitch Barrier on the phone and be back in just a minute. I'm kind of here with Don Patterson, just he and I, forced to do the show by ourselves. Don Shaw is absent today, but we'll be right back. Hang on. Again.
Even if it is not making sense, so when can I see you again? When can I see you again? Yeah. Can my heart beat again? Baby? When can I see you again? Baby? And when can I be once again?
Handyman Show number 230.
230. Unbelievable.
That's what this is. It is unbelievable. We're going to do 250 in Houston this November. Did you know that? I guess you do that.
Yes. Yes.
That'll be
and
this.
And perhaps our guest might
want to come.
Might come and join.
Mitch, can we expect you in Houston this November?
I'd like to come, yeah. Whether I can get the finances together and stuff, I was talking to my friend Mark Callahan. You've had Mark on the show a few once before.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I told him basically that maybe he could write it off as a business expense.
take both of you.
There you go, and maybe we'll get Dale Evans to come down too.
Well, I think Dale is probably going to come. In fact, Dale is going to be in Lufkin next Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're coming down there. He and Janet are talking about moving down here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
huh.
I think kind of spending half the year here and maybe half. He's thinking about retiring and thinking about moving to Lufkin, Texas. I pointed out to him, he'd have a little support system here because me and my wife and I are here, and Don and Emily are here, and Mary and Don are here, and it's a good
Yeah,
bus.
And, you know, as blind people, we kind of have to stick together, eh?
Well, there'd be somebody to help him. If he got in a bind, there'd be somebody to call.
So, Mitch, are you in Canada?
Yeah, I am.
What part?
Up in Northern Ontario.
I could tell by your Brooklyn accent.
So how far are you from Dale?
Well, about maybe an hour, 2 hours at the most, probably.
Whoa, you live up pretty far north too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about 3 hours away from Timmins, where Mark is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fairly far up there for sure.
And so we were
go ahead.
Checking too. How do you spell your last name? Is it with a V or B?
It's with a V.
As in Victor?
Yep.
As in Verrier?
Yep, Verrier, yeah.
Okay, Verrier.
And it's Mish, not Mitch.
Okay, Mish.
Mish.
Yeah. It's French.
I got you. Okay.
I didn't know. I guess I just pronounce it the way Jaws does.
Yeah, I know. Jaws, the way to correct that is if you spell it M-E-E-S-H, it would pronounce it correctly.
Mish.
And so are you bilingual?
A little bit.
Okay, very good.
Very good. Very good, sir. I always ask this, are you of our generation, or what age are you?
I'm going to be 25.
Really?
Yep.
So you're just a young fella.
Yeah, well, what age are you guys?
I think it's against the law to be 25. I'm certain it's against the law to be 25.
I'm so old, my Social Security number is 17.
Okay, fair enough.
That's how old
we're
I
in
am.
Our 60s.
We're so. Yeah, right on.
We're me. Both in our 60s.
Oh, that's fine. One of my best friends is 78. So.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hope to make it to 78.
I'm sure you will.
Are you still gainfully employed, or have you seen?
I am not employed, actually.
Really?
Yep.
What would you do if you were?
I really honestly don't know.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Have you ever been employed?
No. I left school. I went to a school for the blind in Brantford.
Right.
Yeah.
And I graduated with 17 credits, and I needed 32 to graduate.
Oh, okay. So you just left them?
Well, no. Basically, what it was they gave me two checks for $40 and a shake of the hand, and thanks for spending 6 years of your life here, basically.
And said, don't come back.
Well, so
yeah, basically, yeah.
How does one support themselves in Canada when they're unemployed? They're amazing.
We have ODSP, which is Ontario Disability Support.
Okay.
Which is the equivalent to your SSI.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can barely exist on it. You could.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I have enough, like, it's enough basically for me and my dog to exist.
And that would be about it, buddy.
Do you live with parents, friends, brothers, sisters, by yourself?
No, I live by myself, just me and Dale, my dog.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you play any kind of music instrument?
I just picked myself up a harmonica.
Yeah.
And I ordered a course from Bill Brown, I believe his name is. He's a music, he produces courses and whatnot.
Okay.
And I ordered a course from him, so I'm waiting for it and learning how to play. So.
Boy, I never could. I've bought three or four times. I've bought, I could do that. But I never could figure out how to single note.
I did play guitar, and I still have a guitar. I just haven't played for a while.
Well, we bring the guitars to Houston. We'll bring those Martins.
Oh, right on.
So you want to come and see those. Yeah, you folks need to come. Maybe you can find somebody to help you out financially and write it off. We're going to have, this will be, and this is probably going to be the last one, so you need to make this one.
Well, yes, for sure.
I think that's it. What sort of handyman things do you do?
In school, I did a lot of woodworking.
Uh-huh.
I built myself a CD rack, a end table, and I gave it to my sister for her wedding as a wedding gift.
Uh-huh.
I built a CD slash DVD rack kind of thing, like a shelf to hold that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I build? I built a puzzle, like one of those cube puzzles, there, and I gave that to my folks.
Uh-huh.
I built them a shelf there to hang your keys and whatnot there.
So did they let you use woodworking tools in their shop? Obviously, they had a wood shop there at the
bottom. They did. Yeah, at the W. Ross, they did, yeah. It was taught by Mel Andre, who I think is still teaching it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And basically, the only adaptive tech tool that we used was a two-handed push stick for the lathe.
For the lathe, so that there'd be no way you could possibly get hurt. But like, did they have a table saw?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And
they had a radio arm saw. Yeah.
And they would let you use those.
They would.
Boy, that is really progressive.
Yeah. And we used the drill press and things like that.
You could get hurt with a drill press, but you'd have to work at it. But a chop saw, buddy boy, you can get hurt with a.
Well, it's all like safety, of course, and whatnot, you know. And the goal, the main thing was basically just to, with the radio arm saw, was when you hear the blade stop spinning, then, you know, remove your arm and you'd be fine, basically.
You may touch it when it stops spinning. Mine has brakes on it, and it stops actually pretty quick after it's, you know, it'll just,
yep.
And sometimes the brakes don't work.
One way to get hurt on a drill press is we had the chuck chained to the drill press. It hung from a little chain, and I left the chuck in and turned the drill press on, and the chain slapped me upside the head.
Well,
so,
yeah, if you do something like that. I got my key as I hung my chuck key on the wall with a cord, so I couldn't lose it. I mean, it's there.
And it's also not attached to the drill press.
No, it's not attached to the attached to the drill press. But I get nervous about I've got a chop saw, not a chop saw, but a compound miter saw.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm doing it and I get to thinking, geez, you know, just kind of scary. But
have to be careful for sure.
I'm just amazed that at a blind school they let you, because they certainly didn't let us.
Well, that's what my woodshop teacher there, he said, when he tells people what he does for a living, you know, I teach blind people how to do woodworking. Of course, the questions start coming. Well, you know, how do you prevent them from chopping off their fingers and stuff?
I get the same thing. Everybody sees my shop. Well, how do you keep? Well, you know, I'm just very careful. I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. It's organization and
I'm not stupid. I am, but not stupid enough to stick my hand under the chop saw. So you actually made a lot of things. Sanded them off. Did you? Who did the reef?
I was quite good at sanding, actually. I sanded them all, and
Well, you know, Misha, I'm kind of concerned about your well-being here. How did you wind up missing all these credits?
W. Ross, when I was in about grade 9, I failed most of my courses because we brought in the Ontario curriculum. People brought in this new curriculum, and so I failed all my courses that year. And then from grade 10 onwards, they stuck me in credit and non-credit courses. Now, which would basically be basic and advanced.
Right.
Okay. So because of that, after doing that for like grade 10, 11, and 12, not realizing it, when I got up to graduate, I only had 17 credits when I needed 32 to graduate. So like, for instance, when I did my math class, we would do things like practical things, like learning money, like how to figure out change and things of that nature. You know, we used to do for a while before I got transferred into that class, I was doing things like algebra.
Right.
And like with the diagrams and everything.
Mm.
So, I think socially the school did wonders because I got my ham radio license through there. I did a lot of woodworking. You know, I met my girlfriend that I had, you know, through there and stuff like that. But academically, I don't really feel it did much for me.
So the way it sounds to me is that your girlfriend has forsaken you.
No, I actually broke up with her before we left school.
Mish, what a cad. How could you do that?
Well, I wasn't sure that we were going to see each other after school, and we live like 9 hours away from one another. So.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen her since, so it kind of...
Long-distance relationships are tough.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. And plus, my folks didn't really like her either, so that didn't help matters.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I hate that. So that leaves you alone in the world, just you and your dog. Is your dog a guide dog?
He is. I got him down at the Seeing Eye in Morristown, New Jersey in 2004.
Really? Which is the original Seeing Eye?
Yes, it is.
The original people who started doing their dog schools all over everywhere now because they found that the state will pay for that. And so.
I'm curious as to, were there any alternatives like in Canada? Was it your choice, or did your people up there that helped you get the dog pay?
It was my choice.
Okay, so who paid for the dog, or your training, rather?
The school paid for everything. All I needed to pay was about $50.
That's great.
$150, I mean.
Yeah.
For the dog, and like that covered the dog, and it covered the training and whatnot. And for any other dogs I get through there, it would be only $50.
Well, Mish, do you have plans? This is not going to be it. You're going to do something, right?
Oh, I hope so, yes.
Like what?
I would like to get back into doing something like, I got into pottery before I left school, like things like ceramics and things like that, and I would like to get back into doing stuff like that. I haven't really got myself a potter's wheel or anything like that, but I did work a lot when I was younger with things like plasticine, Legos, I have a lot of that type of stuff, so just stuff with my hands, basically.
Are you in any kind of, y'all have some state agencies or your provincial agencies there, like, that, or are they working with you, like, trying to find you a job or offering job training?
No, no, they're not. The only agency we have up here is the CNIV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there doesn't seem to be very, like, the town I live in is about roughly 5,000 people.
Really?
Yeah. Give or take a few. Which is a city compared to the town I came from, which was like 600.
So, but this is a town you can walk around in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I can go to wherever I need to go. I spent a good year last year looking for employment, and I kept on getting the runaround. You know, people saying, oh, we'll call you back, sir. And, you know, they never did. So,
is there a restaurant there, a public restaurant, a cafe of any kind in your town?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one like right down the street from my apartment.
All right. Let me tell you how to get the job. You know, we know where I'm going. Pat,
you
right?
Betcha.
You know exactly where I'm going. Tell us your story. You've never told this story. Listen to this, Mish.
Well, I did it on Blind Like Me, but actually about going in. Well, I was divorced and middle aged, and I'm partially sighted, not totally blind, but anyway, I can't drive, and so transportation's a big deal. But anyway, I had kind of, after my divorce, I had been brokenhearted long enough and depressed and drunk enough brewskis and stuff, and I said, you know, I'm going to go get a job.
Yeah.
And so I just went in the little town I lived in. Took off walking one morning, you know, got up, took a shower, cleaned clothes, we had a Golden Corral restaurant, went there. I didn't especially like the guy that I talked to, but I walked across the street, and there was a little one-horse restaurant called The Hangar. And I walked in, and I said, and they said, can we help you? And I said, well, who's the manager? And the lady stood up, and I said, well, I'm looking for a job. I want to be a dishwasher. I'm a great dishwasher. And she said, oh, well, that's great. She said, you know, I don't have any opening right now, but I'll take your name. And she said, you know, it's long hours and probably 7 days a week and blah, blah, and we pay minimum wage. And I said, that's fine, you know, but I'm, you know, sorry you don't have any openings. Anyway, to make a long story short, well, actually, I went when she said she didn't have any openings, and I walked outside. And then she came running out, and she said, well, let me get your phone number. So anyway, to make a long story short, the next morning at 5 o'clock, I got a phone call. She said, I have an opening now. My dishwasher didn't come in today. Would you like to come to work? So that's the way it is. And I guarantee you, a totally blind guy or otherwise
so
can wash dishes.
Go to this restaurant and apply.
Yep. Tell them you're the best dishwasher ever.
Apply for a dishwashing job.
Dependable. Tell them you'll be there.
Tell them you'll be there every day, and you will wash. You will not drop dishes, that you will make sure they're clean, and you will be a good dishwasher. And I guarantee you, eventually, because dishwashers are, you know, hard to find, and you'll have a job.
Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Are you allowed to keep any of your state money, provincial money, when you if you work? Are you allowed to earn some money and still?
Yeah, you are, but not.
Not a lot, but
not
see,
a lot,
some
but
would be.
Some.
But,
yeah, you are.
See, some you need to supplement that, and then you could really be prosperous, you know?
Oh, for sure.
I know that that isn't what you want to do, or that isn't what you aspire to do, but oftentimes we don't get to do exactly what we want to do.
Unfortunately not, no.
And it would be a job, and you might end up managing that. You never know what will happen, you know?
Oh, exactly.
But in order to get in there, you got to do something. So
yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if he took our advice and it all worked out?
Yeah, go up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys told me a story, so I figured I should tell you guys a story.
We're
this happened
ready.
A few years ago, but
we need a story.
It's an interesting story.
All right.
Okay. I went to a party with my folks and at this guy Dave's place. Okay, and Dave he had a golf cart, and so basically this guy named Mike, he said, "Okay, Mish, you want to go for a drive in the golf cart?" I said, "Sure." Okay. So there I am in his driver's seat. And Mike's on my right-hand side. And there's alcohol served at this party, and Mike's had a few drinks.
Oh.
So, anyway, he's a bit tipsy. So he's telling me, you know, right turn, left turn, whatnot. And so we're going around. And then he told me to turn one way, and I actually turned the other way. I made a left-hand turn, and I should have made a right. Because I went over this, like, embankment. It was one of those embankments with the wires and the rocks that are held in place kind of thing there. Anyways, a great big steep embankment, and the golf cart landed on my foot. Mike got out, got the golf cart off me, helped me walk up the hill. I'm hobbling up the hill. Then he goes back to my folks and goes, "Can he see?" He thought I could see a bit.
Oh, he thought you could see some.
Just a bit, yeah.
Oh,
but here's the best part.
Heaven.
The party that it was at was my mom was the safety inspector, and it was the safety party.
And here, Mish had wrecked the golf cart.
Yeah, well, it got pretty banged up, but my foot was more banged up than anything else. I was hobbling around, and, oh, yeah.
So what is the safety inspector, just for curiosity?
It's like someone who, her job at that time was to go in the bush and inspect the equipment, make sure the guys were using it correctly, and things like that.
Like, what is the bush?
The bush is like the woods, basically, like the forest. Because up around here, there's a lot of logging.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of logging and mills and whatnot around this area.
Sounds
that's
like
the
Lufkin.
main employment, basically.
That sounds like where we live. They do logging, and we have lumber champion.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Is there a radio station licensed to your town?
There is, actually. There is.
There is.
And I've actually been to the radio station. I did one of those. They had a program during the March break a few years ago where they had people come in and guest announce there for the day or whatever it was, and I did that, and I have a tape of it and stuff. So,
with a little training, maybe you could be a DJ.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Maybe they'd want somebody to work all night, you know, Sunday morning. Offer to say, "I'll work Sunday morning." So I always need somebody to work. So I guess now they don't because they got satellite.
Well, yeah, that's
and all
true.
That, you know.
And Sunday morning, I'm busy usually listening to the CBC.
No, you can't be busy. If you're offered a job, you're not busy.
That's true. That's right.
What kind of ham radio do you do, Mish?
I did, let me think now, HF.
Okay. Do you have 2 meters up there, too?
Yeah, we do, but I don't have my radio. I have my license, but I don't have my radio anymore. I gave my radio back when I got my computer, and I wasn't using my radio as much.
Yeah.
And I think because I was leasing it, eh?
Yeah, what's your call sign?
VE3OSV.
All right, I'm KA5UWO.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I haven't had a radio in 25 years, but I did renew my license last year.
As opposed to some people who didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know are you supposed to renew every year?
Every 10 years here in the States. I don't know what.
I'm not sure what it is up here in Canada. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to check into it.
But nobody, I think computers just about did away with that. I was a code
they really
freak.
Did, for sure.
Yeah.
How do you read books on CD?
Yep, on CD and on tape. I have a lot of books. Most of my books are on tape, actually.
They're not letting you all download books yet?
No. No, we don't have that. And I think Audible.com, I don't think that it works in Canada, I don't think. Like, I think you can...
Oh, I'm surprised it doesn't.
Well, I don't... I'm not sure. Like, you know, as far as I know, it was just something that was for the U.S. only. I don't know.
Well, you know, Amazon bought it.
That's right.
So it may work everywhere now. Well, all right, sir. We hope that you get to come to Houston.
Well, I hope so, too, because I would love to hang out with you guys and, you know...
It's going to be great fun. And,
it really is.
We're going to play a lot of music, and we want everybody to play that wants to, and I don't know what else we're going to do. Record a few shows.
Well, right on.
Record the 250th Blind Handyman Show.
Really?
Yes, sir.
250.
250. That'll be about 210 of Blind Like Me. We're about 40 shows behind. But we're going to do that, and we're going to play a lot of music. We're going to do Cooking in the Dark. Dale's going to feed us all Saturday afternoon.
Oh, and, good. You said the restaurant was very expensive. Eh?
The restaurant is expensive, so bring some chips of your own. And then Friday night we have the Blind Rifleman's Association party.
Oh, that's a real good concept. Blind people with guns, everyone watch out.
That's right. Blind Rifleman's Association. It's a Republican organization.
It's very conservative.
All have guns, tote our guns. Anyway, we hope you get to come, and we've enjoyed visiting with you.
One more thing from me. Give our audience a little farewell address in French, and then tell us what you said.
Okay. Actually, I don't know any words in French that are really appropriate, so I can't really...
Oh, and I really thought you were bilingual.
No, I'm mostly English.
All right, spell Mish for us real way.
M-I-C-H.
Okay, we call that Mitch.
Yep, that's right. That's how Jaws would pronounce it.
All right, man.
All right. Mish Verrier is your name.
Yeah.
We had it all along, did we? We'll know better next time, sir. Hope to see you in November.
I hope to see you, too.
Come on down. All right. Sounds like he needs a dishwasher job to me.
You got to get out of that house and.
You got to start somewhere. You got to do something. If you don't, nobody, believe me, he could sit there another 40 years and never get a call.
Nobody would give a damn.
Nobody's going to give a damn, and nobody's going to call and say, hey, we want you to come to work. He can just sit there, and nobody will care.
Right.
If you don't do it yourself, it ain't going to get done. If you're blind or I don't care what you are, sighted or whatever you happen to be. All right, you got a couple things to talk about. Let's just take a short break and go get a cold one. We'll be right back with more of The Blind Handyman. Mentioned very quickly, as I've alluded to, we are having a gathering in November, and I would tell you where to go get some information about it. But I haven't signed a contract yet, and I don't want to do it until I sign the contract with the hotel. It's a Sheraton. It's a very nice hotel with an expensive restaurant. It's exactly what it is. Well, we're going to do that in November. And as soon as I sign the contract, if you're on the Blind Handyman list or Blind Like Me list, you'll find out. And we'll also have a website where you can go look up the information about our November gathering. Get your finances together. Save $20 a month and come on down to Houston Town. It's in October this year, the 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. Of October. That's the same weekend the accordion convention is, right? No.
There is one in Las Vegas, but we're not going.
You'll need to come to Houston with us.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
All right. Go ahead. What have you got?
Well, I don't talk very much about New Year's resolutions because, you know, and people, I'm going to quit smoking or I'm going to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. And then, but anyway, I actually made myself one. And I said, I'm going to get organized. Okay. Just around the place, I'm going to get organized. Oh. And I'd mentioned this on the show one time. I mean, I don't remember which show, but we were talking. And I said, you know, I have six hammers. I found six hammers that you'd nail a nail with, hammer. The other day I was looking for a hammer and I couldn't find one. And so that just kind of accelerated my desire to get. So I went to Sam's and I bought two sets of shelves. One to go in my kind of tool room garage that I keep, where I keep my little tractor and this. I mean, no cars. I've got all my tools in there, a little tool room. And then, and then I put one for the pavilion for the swimming pool stuff, chemicals. Shock, this and that. Anyway, and they were really neat. I bought them at Sam's, and I did not buy two of the same size. They're both six-shelf structures, but one of them is a little fancier or a little nicer, a little more attractive. That's the one I'm...
Stand alone or hang on the wall?
Yeah, one of them is on wheels, and one of them just sits on its 4 feet.
Yeah.
Anyway, put them together, did not, only on one, it says you need a rubber mallet. And so I came up with a piece of wood and a hammer and did just as good. That was the only tool you needed on that one. And in the second shelf, no tools at all. It's unbelievable how scientific and how smart these people are getting. I put this, I mean, there were no bolts to put in this shelf. The only thing you screwed on was the wheels on the bottom of four poles. And then you put these little plastic snap-on things are at certain wherever you wanted the shelf's height, and then you lifted the shelf, had four holes, one in each corner.
Okay.
And they went over the four poles, and when it came to these little plastic snap-on inserts, they went up in that hole and stopped it, would not allow it to go any further. They expanded as you pushed down, they got bigger. And so anyway, it's the neatest thing, but there's nothing like a set of shelves and putting stuff on it, and it's all of a sudden it's out of the floor and you can see it and you know where it is. And I've made a deal. Every tool I find goes to the tool room. I am rounding up. I've got screwdrivers I didn't know. I haven't seen in 3 years because I didn't know I had them. I mean, I'm just so, That's the commitment. I mean, just it is so neat to just have stuff out there that you know can. I mean, a lot of times we laugh about this, but I buy two of something so I can always make sure I can find one. Like, you know, and then colors are big. I bought a big bright orange. Fluorescent orange measuring tape, because every time I went looking for my damn tape, I couldn't find it. So now I can't find the bright orange one, but I found a little silver one that I didn't know I had, you know.
But you can't find the bright orange.
Well, I did. I finally recovered it the other day. But, I mean, I looked and looked and looked. I kept saying, you know, I mean, I would go find, and you'd be surprised when you're looking for something bright orange, how many things you can find that are bright orange that are not your, that are not your measuring tape. But anyway, I was the one set of the shelves cost $59, and I'm talking, I mean, has a big capacity. They stand, they're 8 foot tall, the one set is. The other set's probably seven, and it says, warning, don't put more than 600 pounds per shelf.
Warning.
So that's pretty sturdy. You know, if it'll hold, I mean, six shelves, 600 pounds, what are we talking here? You know, a ton and a half of goods, and most of it is just things in boxes but you don't want to throw away, or it's like nails. I have accumulated nails, so I've put them in plastic coffee cans are the best nail holders, and I label them the size that they are, putting them in the coffee cans. And then, like I say, out in the swimming pool area, you got all of the chemicals, you know, I use the shock and keep the salt, and then you got this and that for the pool, the little implement. So anyway, I was glad to get that done, and the shelves were as opposed to buying something or putting them up on the wall, because a lot of times if you just get like one shelf, You know, and it gets cluttered, and then you still wind up with stuff on the floor.
There is something to be said for organization. I'm for it. I'm organized.
Well, you know, I think about you quite often, you and Don Shaw. If I ask y'all ever, I don't think I've ever asked y'all, hey, Phil, do you have this, and you can go put your hands on it?
I'll say yes, and then go find it, because I know what I've got, and I know where it is.
You know where it is. Well, I know I had one at one time, but sometimes...
Well, I would be even more like that if it wasn't for my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law borrows stuff and puts it in his, where's my so-and-so? It's in my $2, my truck. Well, hell, that ain't doing me any good. You know, and he doesn't understand why that upsets me. I quit letting it upset me because it's going to be that way. He's my brother-in-law and there's nothing I can do about that.
And he's basically a good
guy. He is. He means well.
He's a good guy. But he, and like I say here about, a year ago or so, I built a pegboard, you know, 4x8. They sell that at like a sheet of plywood with the pegs, and then you buy the little plastic inserts, and I put a frame around mine and then nailed it on the wall. It's very sturdy. And that got a lot of my tools, and then now I have a designated, I bought some racks for your garden tools. I know wherever shovel, every rake that we have is, and the key is getting them put back.
I did that. I put in that little extra stick-on garage that you hate and I hate, I put up a big wooden thing and put nails in it to hang rakes and stuff, and I had it full at one time. I bet there isn't anything hanging on it now.
They never bring them back.
They never put them back. You know, I assume that Luann would like to be organized. She, nobody ever organized it. It's not true. She doesn't want to be organized.
In closing, let me say that, we have four dog bowls that I've had ever since I've had four dogs. And each dog has its own bowl. And somehow one always, when I'm not the feeder, when I'm not the person that feeds them, there's always one bowl that comes up. And I go, how could you? We've had these bowls for...
She loses dog bowls?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say she. I'm going to say they just seem to come up missing.
Luann is just not organized and isn't interested in being. It's not important to her. Every once in a while, like we're having next, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, we're having Shelley Bruce, my sister-in-law, who's the debate coach at Lufkin High School, is having her debate, end-of-the-year debate party over here. And rather than keep things organized, Luann will spend all day Saturday cleaning up rather than...
Yeah, they do it as it comes on them. They don't.
I mean, Saturday will be terrible. Don't say anything to her because she'll snap at you. She'll be nasty and hateful all day Saturday because she's cleaning up because she didn't, you know...
Emmy does that and she'll go, I'll say, well, we're going to be late. And she said, no, you're never late. And you're not late till it starts. You know, I mean...
Luann will be late to her funeral. I guarantee you. You're not late till it starts.
That's right.
Anyway, thank you, Don. I'm glad you showed up.
Well,
it wouldn't have been a difficult show to do if you hadn't.
Well, I enjoyed it. Maybe the Shaw boy can reach negotiations with higher management and get a contract that he likes.
Be back next week.
And come back.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you next week. I'm C. Said the Blind Man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.